do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into our guests, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today's a Friday, so it's what we're doing over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. Before we get to the guests, remember, this is the Halloween weekend. Be fun, be safe. There's a lot of things going on Friday and Saturday night. And on Monday, the big day for trick-or-treating. I grew up in Westgate Subdivision. It's a target-rich environment. Go out there and get them. But also, the city of Fairbanks, we've opened up City Hall like we used to have, that Jim Matherly did. We've restored that on Monday from 3 to 5 p.m., bring your kids, your grandkids, costumes or not, down to City Hall. We have a lot of the departments that have really made this special. We have one department, they're going total Disney. And they're borrowing my Dalmatian, and Cruella de Vil is making her appearance with my dog. So that should be interesting. And I'm going to borrow the dog back, and we are going to be some of the Chick-fil-A cows. So we got some fun going on here. We're hitting it all. But anyway, Monday from 3 to 5, come on down to City Hall. It is a warm environment, lots of candy, lots of fun. Bring your cameras to take photos of you and your kids, and let's enjoy ourselves. And with that, we come into the holiday season. And it's not a holiday season unless you're having a nutcracker. And every year, we bring in Cortland Weaver, the artistic director, and Samantha Reynolds, the executive director of the North Star Ballet. How are you two doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah.
We're very happy to be here, very happy to be in the presence of your honor, the mayor. We're
I go by, hey, you. Hey, and sometimes the caller's, hey, bonehead. But Samantha?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been, has the North Star Ballet been doing this?
We've been doing the Nutcracker for 35 years. We've been in Fairbanks for 42.
The show must go on.
The show goes on, yeah. Yeah. The curtain will go up on something. That's what I always say.
Cortland, what days are it?
The three public performances are Saturday, December 3rd, 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and Sunday, December 4th at 2 o'clock.
Now, here's the thing about the Nutcracker. I don't think there is a larger in-city production with the amount of people that are used. I mean, you have, 80 people involved in this production?
Backstage.
Yeah, in every show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is the biggest, actually in the state, is the biggest production that happens. I don't think there's ever been, ever. I know there has not been a ballet produced in the state of Alaska that involves more people than this one.
Now, you've been doing this since 2014.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Okay.
Look at me. How did you keep all your hair? Because I didn't.
Clean living hair.
No pulling your hair out. Oh, my God.
Well, at a certain point, you do what you can to make the best, but at a certain point, it's out of your hands, right?
Yeah,
it's in the hands of the performers, and the folks on stage, and you have to let that bird fly.
It's going
to
be what it's going to be.
It will be what it's going to be, and like I say, you do the legwork beforehand. You try and make sure that everything is in place, and you do what you can to ensure the success from where you sit. But in the end, you're sitting in the audience watching it. So,
what is the process? I mean, it's never ending. It's never over. There's no finish line. But when do you say, okay, let's start putting together the choreography in our studio and getting everyone lined up and choosing the roles, who does what.
Well, so we had children's audition was the 11th of September this year. So that's
2 months before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we started rehearsals the first week of October. And you rehearse the older girls, the company girls that are our advanced students.
Yeah.
They start rehearsing various roles like really early on in the process. And then what we hope to do is get them to a point where we can sort of forget about them because they're very reliable, very good. And then work more on the integrating the younger kids into the performances. So we start generally with the most complicated little kid roles and rehearse those first, and then we add the less complicated ones as we go along.
Samantha, how long has the North Star Ballet been going?
42 years, and I'd like to say that again. We've been going 42 years because the news media likes to make us sound younger than we are. You can do that to me. You cannot do that to the ballet.
You rookies.
No. We have been around for over four decades.
So before you got here, me and Cortland were going through this. You've been doing the North Star Ballet for 35 years, and I go...
We've been doing the Nutcracker for 35 years.
How many generations now of children have come through? And he said... We have grandchildren of some of the original cast ensemble.
Yep. This is the first season that has happened that we're aware of it. Yeah.
Huh.
It's great. Well, and, Norman Shelburne, who is the he was the choreographer of it and ran North Star Ballet for a number of decades, says that he'll be in Fred Meyer, and, grown people will come up to him that he has no idea who they are, and they'll say, "Hey, Mr. Norman, I was a little mouse in the Nutcracker 40 years ago."
And make a donation.
Yeah,
then.
It was great. It was there are so many kids that come through there. I don't want to exaggerate, but I would say for 95% of the people involved in it, it is a very, very positive experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, so it's a great thing to have done as a child, and it's a great memory to have as you're an adult. So,
not enough credit is given to the people that are not seen.
That is true. We have so many volunteers, and we have Elizabeth Parr is our volunteer coordinator, and sort of is very good about rounding up all of the parents of all the kids to do the various chores that are necessary backstage: the makeup, hair, chaperoning, getting the kids to the stage at the right time, making sure, like we were talking about before, what a great theater Herring is, but it lacks a lot of things such as bathroom space and just taking kids to the bathroom and make sure that, they're all ready to go on stage before the show starts and that their parents are there to pick them up when the show ends. I mean, there's so many things that go on. Also, we have a whole technical staff backstage. Jamie Rausch is our stage manager, and we have up to seven crew in the back at the same time. So it's a lot going on.
Costumes, how many,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Jen Danielson, she's our wardrobe coordinator, and the costumes are on probably, I think it's a 5-year rotation for them to get rebuilt.
Yeah, they're very expressive, beautiful costumes.
Oh my gosh. They're professionally built, made by people here in Fairbanks, as were the sets. I mean, the sets are gorgeous, and those were all constructed by local talent here. And it's just it is a community event, the Nutcracker.
It really is. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. I have Samantha Reynolds, the executive director, and I have Cortland Weaver, the artistic director of the Fairbanks North Star Ballet, in business for 42 years.
Thank you.
And they're doing the 35th production of The Nutcracker. And we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You know him. You trust him. And for Kevin McKinley, it's all about honesty. From the Chamber of Commerce to volunteering in children's hospitals, he's been here for us. Kevin's part of the Alaska Charitable Gaming Alliance, ensuring nonprofits protect the most vulnerable, like our disabled Alaskans, children, and veterans. And with over 30 years in business, he's signed a lot of paychecks. Kevin knows Alaska has big problems: inflation, jobs, failing test scores in our schools, drug abuse. That's why he wants to serve as your next representative, to bring common sense solutions to Juneau. Let's diversify our economy to support university graduates. Let's empower parents to have a choice in how their kids learn, to bring back academic excellence. Let's support law enforcement and restorative justice. Let's support Kevin McKinley for State House.
Paid for by Alaskans for Kevin McKinley.
Hi folks, Ralph Seekins here, Seekins Ford Lincoln. Microchip shortages sure have changed things, but one thing is still the same. Seekins and Ford have more ways to treat you right. Example, vehicles are sold and delivered almost as they roll off the trucks, but you can put your name on one of the more than 200 here or on order and lock in your finance rates as low as 2.9% with cash as well. So see us today, right now, right here at Seekins Ford Lincoln, and I'll see you here.
As our state representative, Bart Lebon has supported fair and consistent funding for our school district, fought for issues important to the Fairbanks business community, voted for a record PFD while also supporting responsible resource development in Alaska. With a proven track record of working across the aisle on issues critical to Fairbanks, Bart has proven that he will always deliver for Interior Alaska.
This is Representative Bart Lebon. It is an honor serving Fairbanks in the State House, and I would appreciate your vote on November 8th.
This ad paid for by Bart Lebon for State House.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way, the right way, The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
13 today, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 3 above. High of 15 tomorrow, mainly clear. 11 Sunday with a chance for snow. 12 Monday, snow continues. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And remember, it's the holiday Halloween weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Please drive safely. And on Monday, the City Hall will be open from 3 to 5 for trick-or-treaters with a Disney section, a few other sections, and lots of treats, warm environment. Come on down. The people who work at the City of Fairbanks, boy, they are getting competitive in regards to this, too, between themselves. So you'll enjoy yourselves. Now, 42 years, right, Samantha?
That's right.
Okay, let's, news minor, get it right.
Yes, please.
So, you've had generational dancers come through.
Mm-hmm.
How do they start?
It's, generally, we get a lot of questions about, from people who have like three-year-olds, because they feel like three is about the time kids start to move around a lot. We don't start children in creative movement until they're 4 years old. So we have a creative movement.
Okay.
Well, it's a big difference between 3 and 4, just because the socialization aspect, the ability to be without their parent for, you know, X amount of time. So, and the most of what goes on in the creative movement for 4 and 5 year olds is just teaching them pretty much how to learn dance. Like, that we're going forward, we're going backwards, going sideways. Here's a shape. Here's a bigger shape. Here's a small shape. Here's a low shape. Here's a high shape. This pathway goes this way. This is a straight pathway. This is circular. And those kids, the creative movement program we have is really, really good. It involves not just movement, but it involves kids like drawing things on paper to represent what they're doing movement-wise. Okay. And we take that through age 8. We don't start kids in ballet until they're 8 years old, just because most of them do not have the musculature or the skeleture to allow them to remain like straight up vertical. They sway their backs a lot, and it's difficult to line their spine ups, because ballet is a vertical.
Yeah.
Straight up and down most of the time. So at least at the beginning it is. So at 8 years old, we start them two times a week for an hour a week in A1. The next year, A2, they are two times a week for an hour a week still. And then after that, we go to an hour. Oh, no, I'm fibbing. It is an hour and 15 minutes for A2, two okay. times a week.
Okay.
And then it progresses up through B2 is gets to an hour and a half, two times a week. And then past that, you can you have the possibility to join either the junior company or the company, which gives you a little bit more. You rehearse more. You spend more time in the studio rehearsing. And then as you get upper into the upper divisions, you spend more time in technique classes. So we, you know,
at you have a very good structure.
Yeah, at a certain
a very
point,
good structure.
They we put them on point generally not until they're 11 years old or until their feet have formed to the point where we're not going to mess their bones up in their feet. And once they start on point, that's quite a bit more time in the studio too. And then we also offer contemporary dance classes for levels A1 and up, and we have a whole adult program also. For interested adults, from beginning, we have a beginning adult workshop and adult classes from like just beginning adult through intermediate adult. So yeah, we got a lot, and it's sort of part of it is being in the artisan's courtyard space
mm-hmm.
that allows us to do that. We have quite a bit more studio space than we did when we were over at the fairgrounds.
You acquired
way back
that,
when.
Yeah. You yeah, guys acquired that.
We
yeah.
did, and then
you got some rental property in there too.
We
and you got a really nice little bistro. In
oh,
there.
That little owl is great.
Yeah, yeah.
And
don't
we,
ask me how I know that.
But you know, the Concert Association, the Fairbanks Concert Association, has moved into offices there also.
Okay. Great.
And then In My Element is a great little boutique store there, and then there's physical therapist around the back. So,
mm-hmm. And we have a two street gallery installation in our lobby. So we're really living up to the artisan's part of Artisan's Courtyard.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You know, Sherry Martin, she put that together, and it's great that seeing the next generation of owners are really taking advantage of this and using it for what her vision was.
Yeah, well, those studios, I mean, it's a little different now that the school district has made some changes that I am not particularly fond of. And what it means is that the kids don't get out of school until the younger ones don't get out of school until later, meaning they can't come to ballet until like 4:30 in the afternoon. And if they're there for 2.5 hours, you know, they're
not getting home till 7.
Yeah. And then for some of our kids, you know, they're not getting home till 8. So
basically, I'm going to beat up the school district here, and I'm going to beat up Melissa across the hall. So let me get this straight. You're looking at taking out these type of developmental things from the school, and then you're putting in a schedule that makes it harder for them to go from the,
somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that really is, it's tough for us. I mean, I got really excited when they started talking about starting the high school kids later, because
mm-hmm.
our high school kids don't mind being there until 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
But the littler kids, more, it's really, really tough for them.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my goodness. So Samantha, how does a parent come down and get people started?
Well, we have, entered the 21st century, finally.
A big toe dipped into it.
Yeah.
Screaming and yelling, yeah.
So our registration is online.
Mm-hmm.
But if a parent isn't sure what class to enroll their child in, because we do have our own lingo, A1, A2, creative movement, they just need to give us a call, and one of our instructors can walk them through what level would best fit their child. And
Fairbanks NorthstarBallet.org or?
NorthstarBallet.org, or the studio number is 451-8800.
Again, you've had 42 years, so you're getting third generation dancers in there
mm-hmm.
from parents.
We also have alumni teaching for us, which is really encouraging. So
they don't go away.
We didn't scar them for life.
You say that on the air.
I do say that on the air.
Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm.
And how many do you put in a class? Is there a minimum, maximum?
So we have a maximum for the littler kids, just because it's a little more difficult to herd them around. And we also, like for the older kids, there is a sort of, there's an attrition that happens. Like you have, like now we have, I think, 15 kids in our A1 class and 13 in the A2. So the very beginning ones are
bigger.
At capacity, we keep them at 15 as the limit for those, just because the instructor has a helper, but it's really tough to keep all of those kids moving where they're supposed to move, you know, at the same time. So we have a class limit on those, and then as we go farther and farther along, just because we demand more time of them, mm-hmm. there are more and more people sort of drop out of it. So there's a self sort of limiting for the upper levels. But like even right now, I had a class in there Wednesday, and it was a point class with 8 girls and in one of our studios, and it was really, really tight. It was sort of tough to move. There's just not a lot of room. So there is that factor too. It's like, you want the kids to move around, they have to have space to move. So
there are limitations.
Yeah.
That's correct. Boy.
And the other thing about just in terms of signing kids up, you realize that we have 16-week semesters, mm-hmm. and we are just about halfway through. We're a little more than halfway through, actually. And so we probably would not accept anybody into the lower-level ballet classes if they have not had an experience, just because they're, like, that far behind, and it would be really, really tough for them to catch up.
So wait a bit. There's going to be another class.
There'll be another class, at some point.
We're just finally, the remnants of COVID are finally being shaken off. You survived.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, congratulations.
Well, and thank you to the citizens of Fairbanks, because there was such an outpouring of goodwill from them to keep us afloat for the last, you know, when we had to shut down. And that really made a big difference. I mean, we...
Yeah, I would also say a big thanks goes to our board as well, because trying to navigate a global crisis is... I mean, nonprofit management is difficult on a good day, but this situation was like a hall of mirrors. And so if it weren't for our board...
And it came so fast.
Yeah.
Awesome. Bam, you know, 2 weeks notice. Mm-hmm. Then,
well,
you know.
And the thing that people don't, well, a lot of people don't know about the fact that we get a fair amount of revenue through pull tabs also.
Yeah.
And so when all of a sudden we can't have any students in the studio, and we have to, like, from a moral point of view, refund that money that has been paid to us already.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, nobody is going out and nobody's spending money on pull tabs, and all that revenue stops. And then our renters, of course, can't have anybody in there, and that revenue stops. And you're all just like, wow, there's nothing here right now. And you know, like Samantha says, just negotiating all of the paperwork needed to get the loans to keep us going.
You know,
it was a thing. And we were talking about this a little bit before, the whole how difficult school is on Zoom. Well, ballet on Zoom is impossible. You have, like,
first of all, what a concept, that's impossible. Yeah, like, really?
Well, it was very, very difficult. I mean, I came up with, you know, you have exercises that you can show.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult to see who is actually doing them correctly or not. And the thing about dance, it's not like music that's written on, you know, staffs, right, that you can take home and practice. It's not like if you're doing a play, you have everything written out, and you memorize your lines, and you go to the next thing. If in ballet or in dance, you have to learn it from somebody. They have to show it to you. And so it was really tough on the little, like, 3-foot by 3-foot square, trying to get somebody to, like, actually learn how to do a thing that's supposed to move, you know? It was tough,
and some bad habits were ingrained.
Yeah,
because of that. Yep. Yeah, because
and we are now just, you know, that whole group, not necessarily the advanced kids, but like just a couple of classes back, are still, you know, about 4 to 6 months behind where they ought to be in their dance development at this point. And I'm pretty sure that's across the education.
Yeah. You know, I just heard a statistic today that Alaska's number 49 in math for fourth graders.
Aye.
And just think of, you know, that first, second grade, that you're teaching a first grader math or whatever by Zoom.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It takes years to recover from that.
Yeah.
And it's I'm so glad you've recovered from this oddity that happened.
In the process of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the little kids seem to be okay, but the older ones are, yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to give you a little bit of bumper music. Cracker, Teen Angst. I've never heard of it, but here it is. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband has been rushed to the hospital after he was brutally assaulted at their San Francisco home.
The assailant shouting, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?" 82-year-old Paul Pelosi was beaten with a hammer. He suffered blunt force trauma to his head and his body, although we understand he is expected to make a full recovery.
That's Fox's Jonathan Hunt. Officers have identified the suspect as David DePape. Meanwhile, North Korea is moving forward with its missile launches despite warnings from the U.S. and its allies.
North Korea set off two short-range ballistic missiles towards the sea on Friday. The IAEA warns that the regime is getting closer to potentially carrying out a nuclear bomb test. The IAEA will be following the situation closely.
Fox's Alex Hogan. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Alaska Native village of Shishmaref is located on a sinking barrier island in the Chukchi Sea near the Bering Strait that separates the U.S. and Russia, where it is constantly threatened by the effects of climate change. Rising sea levels, flooding, increased erosion, and loss of protective sea ice and land have led residents of this island community to vote twice to relocate. But more than 6 years after the last vote, Shishmaref remains in the same place because relocation is too costly. The tight-knit, resilient community continues to maintain their traditions and celebrate birthdays, baptisms, and graduations centered around their homes, the local school, and one of the world's northernmost Lutheran churches. Fishing regulators and the seafood industry are coming to grips with the possibility some species that have declined with climate change might not come back. It's rare for regulators to completely shut down a fishery, but they're considering doing just that in at least one instance, and warming waters are the culprit. In New England, they are considering making a moratorium on shrimp fishing permanent, essentially ending the centuries-old harvest of the shrimp. Other closures include softshell clams, Alaskan crab, winter flounder, and
Chinook salmon. Online at KFAR660.com.
In this election, lower 48 outsiders are going to try to grab Alaska's Senate seat.
Lisa Murkowski's right. Lower 48 outsiders want Lisa reelected, so she'll do whatever the D.C. establishment tells her. It's why Mitch McConnell is spending millions of dark money spreading lies about Kelly Chewbacca. After 21 years in the Senate, Lisa Murkowski changed. She used to represent Alaska, but now she's controlled by Joe Biden and D.C. political insiders like Mitch McConnell. That's why Murkowski voted to kill Alaska energy jobs and confiscate our guns. Lisa Murkowski isn't working for Alaska anymore. She is working for the D.C. establishment, her Democrat allies, and the dark money groups funding her campaign. Why is Mitch McConnell so scared of Kelly Chewbacca? Because Kelly Chewbacca won't be bought or bullied by Washington. Chewbacca will always fight for Alaska, and that will never change.
I'm Kelly Chewbacca, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Kelly for Alaska.
Alaska may be the 49th state, but we shouldn't be 49th in the country as a place to do business. But that's how bad Alaska's economy has gotten under Mike Dunleavy. On economic growth, we are nearly dead last in the country. Dunleavy has killed thousands of jobs. He's mismanaged Alaska's fiscal crisis, cratered our education system, and gutted critical construction and infrastructure funding. Dunleavy's incompetent leadership put Alaska's economic recovery at 49th in the country and nearly destroyed our ferry system. It's not just embarrassing, it's hurting families and forcing us to flee the state in record numbers. To rebuild our economy and restore strong leadership, rank Bill Walker first on November 8th. Bill Walker's economic plan will generate jobs, lower prices, and bring more affordable housing and child care to Alaska. Bill plans to bring $2 per gallon fuel to Alaskans, because in the state that produces so much oil, we should be paying the lowest energy prices, not the highest. To put Alaska first, rank Bill Walker first on November 8th.
This communication is paid for by Walker Dragas for Alaska.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Cortland Weaver, the artistic director of the North Star Ballet. And we have Samantha Reynolds, executive director of the Fairbanks North Star Ballet. And we have the production of the Nutcracker coming on December 3rd and 4th. That's a Saturday and Sunday. How many people usually attend, or do you even know that? Now that we're out of COVID, I'm sure it's going to start growing a little bit.
Well, that's an interesting question that we are trying to, like, work out. Mm-hmm. We have, in the past, tried to give enough performances to make it equitable for all the performers. And 3 years ago, I think, we had, the year right before COVID, we had three casts of little mice and three casts of elves. So we added a show to accommodate those and allow everybody to have, like,
part,
public performance, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, last year we had a lot fewer, so we actually removed a performance that we normally do. We had done a Friday night show up till then, mm-hmm. and it just was never... We never got enough people in there to make it worthwhile. So we decided to take that show out, and now we have the two school shows for the school district Friday morning, and then we have the shows, two shows Saturday, 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and a show Sunday. And what Samantha will certainly correct me if I'm way off base, but we have the same, nearly the same amount of people coming to the three shows as we had coming to when we did the four public shows.
That's great. And, yeah. and what you're doing is you're presenting it to the students and maybe getting them wanting to do that.
It is a big draw for us, the school shows, because it allows us to reach a lot of kids who would never, you know, whose parents are not interested in it necessarily, or sometimes don't have the means to take a large family to the Nutcracker, and mm-hmm. these kids get to see it and get to see what it's like, and it does generate a fair amount of interest for our program.
We're able to offer those tickets at a discounted rate, so we can get as many kids in the theater as possible.
It's great, and it's also really fun. Well, not necessarily fun, but I go out at intermission. I almost call it halftime. I go out at intermission and explain a little bit to the kids about what they're seeing on stage and how it all evolved and how it came about. And, you know, they get to see, while I'm doing that, there are people sweeping up snow from the snow scene behind me. Everybody sort of gets a little intimate view of how that works. And then we do little dance exercises for the kids that are sitting in their seats. And that's always a lot of fun.
The choreographed music, Tchaikovsky?
Tchaikovsky, yep.
Tchaikovsky. Incredible.
Yeah.
He wrote it specifically for this.
Oh, yeah. It debuted in 1892.
Yeah.
And it's the first time, I think, that the... Celeste was played, in the Sugar Plum Fairy.
That's true.
Ding, 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 yeah. ding. I think that's the first time in an orchestral work that was involved. And it was not hugely popular when it first debuted, I gotta say. It came into the United States. Willem Christensen, who was the director of San Francisco Ballet in mm-hmm. the 50s, saw a Russian group in New York who just did the second act divertissements. And he and George Balanchine, who was a Russian immigré who ran New York City Ballet at the time, and Willem's brother, Lou Christensen, all saw that performance. And then they went back to Balanchine's apartment, and he told them about the Nutcracker that he had performed when he was in the Mariinsky Theater in Russia, and went through all of the scenes and talked to them about the music. And then Willem goes out to San Francisco and choreographs a Nutcracker, which is the first full-length one in the United States. And it was so popular immediately that they added another 2 weeks of shows onto it. And then the next year, you know, booked it. And then the next year, Balanchine choreographed one for New York City Ballet when he saw how popular Willems was out in San Francisco.
Wow.
So that's how the evolution of why it's such a big deal here. And then it became such a moneymaker for all the you know, because all the ballet companies are nonprofit, right?
Yeah.
And they're begging for money everywhere.
They have to have a revenue stream to stay in business.
And that is the thing that, yeah, that allows them to produce other things later on that are, you know, less popular and cost more money.
Other than the Nutcracker, does North Star Ballet do any other feature presentation?
Well, so every year we have a spring gala, mm-hmm, which has a story ballet that they have all been choreographed by Norman Shelburne. And we have Alice in Wonderland. The one that's coming up this spring is The Firebird. We have Snow White, Seven Dwarves. There's
you're
another
going
one.
Disney, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that story existed before Disney had
exactly.
it. So
exactly.
It doesn't necessarily follow the Disney line. But we
try to keep it as non-Disney as possible.
And we do have a Cinderella also, mm-hmm, which okay. is...
These are fables.
Yeah.
These are wonderful
yeah.
fables before, you know,
yep.
yeah, written.
And so all of those are like a one act, meaning an hour or less.
Yeah.
And then we have works that are choreographed specifically for the kids that are there, or we resurrect dances that we've done before that are, we call them repertoire dances because they don't necessarily have a story to them. They're more abstract.
So the North Star, Fairbanks North Star Ballet puts on something, a presentation for your members to present themselves to. That's so important. You know, it's like your Super Bowl. You're getting ready for this. You're getting ready for this.
Yeah. This is, well, and it's not just for the people who are involved in North Star yeah. Ballet. It's for the entire community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of our board members came on the board because she saw the production. She grew up in San Francisco watching San Francisco Ballet. She saw the production and thought, my gosh, this is for a community this size, this is such a quality production. I have to be involved in it somehow.
You know, whenever I travel, I try and explain Fairbanks. And I say, look, the closest town is 7 hours away driving. We're self-contained. We have the most incredible artistic infrastructure, depending what you are, dance, painting, writing, sculpture, jewelry making, baseball, basketball, football. We're self-contained. We have a university. We have all these other nonprofits. There's 2 to 3 things for every Fairbankson in the artistic nature in Fairbanks. We have the Summer Arts Festival. We have anything and everything.
Yeah, it's a great community. I was always told that. I'd lived in Anchorage for a number of years and then was always told what a tight-knit arts community Fairbanks was. And
yeah.
it's tough to understand it until you actually come up here and experience it. But
yeah.
it really is unique. It's
symphonies.
The symphony coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
You know, and you meet a lot of people. You know, there's the Fairbanks Drama or the Fairbanks Drama Association at the show. I was
yeah.
speaking with the Laughter on the 23rd Floor.
Yeah.
You know, all these great things that happen, and then the Shakespeare Theater has a new executive director that's really livening things up. I mean, there's so much going on.
Yeah. So there's something for the public, and if you want to participate. There's something for you.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, you said that the Fairbanks Concert Association is in your building.
Yeah.
They were down this hall in the Wells Fargo building.
You know? Good luck finding them.
Yeah, it was, you know.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, and, you know, there's so many ways for kids to get involved in it. I mean, the Concert Association does a great job of mm-hmm. outreach for the school district also.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of our shows we try to do a school show for. We have been doing, we didn't do it this year, but for the couple of years before, we'd been doing one performance in the fall, generally in October, that we tried to concentrate more on like modern dance things
mm-hmm.
in that one. We weren't able to do it this year, but... yeah, that's the one thing that we haven't been able to swing a school show into, but that's a big part of our goal, too, is to involve ourselves in the lives of the kids in the school district here.
Mm-hmm. How could you not?
Yeah.
You know, and again, 42 years, you're in your third generation of people that may have come through.
Yeah. So much fun.
I'm not one of those, but I will call it out real fast.
Yeah, it's so much fun to see that too because, you know, there was a grandmother in here and this is the way we knew about it. The grandmother was, you know, I think she was an elf, like way back in the like 88 or something. And just like, knew the choreography. Knew what it was. It's like, whoa.
We don't change it very often.
You're looking at her 8-year-old. You will do this right.
So, and that was pretty, it was, and she was all excited that her granddaughter was in, and that was really fun to watch. So, yeah, intergenerational North Star Ballet.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. If you have a question for Cortland or Samantha, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Lisa Murkowski works hard for Alaska, cutting through the partisan gridlock in Washington to get results for us. As Alaska's senator, Lisa is standing up for our veterans, strengthening our fisheries and protecting our oceans, improving Alaska's infrastructure, expanding energy production, and fighting for Alaska jobs. Lisa Murkowski is for Alaska, always.
I'm Lisa Murkowski, and I love Alaska with all my heart. I'm proud to call this special place my home and honored to be your voice in the United States Senate. Here's my commitment to you. I will work with anyone from either party to advance Alaska's priorities. And I will always stand up to any politician or special interest that threatens our way of life.
I'm for Alaska, always. I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Lisa Murkowski is Alaska's senator.
I'm Lisa Murkowski. I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Lisa Murkowski for U.S. Senate.
Let's face it, life can certainly bring accidents our way. Whether it's a vehicle accident or a bad fall on the ice, your injuries can range from mild and temporary to a life of chronic pain and disability. If you find yourself in that situation, call Jason Wiener and Associates. This outstanding group offers five attorneys with decades of experience. Get the facts and opinions that you need and solid advice so you can make informed decisions. They will design a retainer agreement that works for you and your case. Make sure you are represented by the right attorney. Jason Wiener and Associates, 907-452-5196.
Save now on Firestone Tires at GCR. Receive your Visa prepaid card of up to $110 when you buy a set of four eligible Firestone tires, like Firestone Destination for solid on- and off-road performance for your light truck or SUV. Firehawk models deliver superb highway handling for your car. Submit your rebate online. Firestone mails you your Visa prepaid card. Shop now. Offer ends November 15th. Details at GCR. Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 13. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows level off around 3 above. Highs level off around 15 tomorrow. Chance for snow Sunday and Monday, 11, Sunday, 12, Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Samantha Reynolds, the Executive Director of Fairbanks North Star Ballet, and Cortland Weaver, the Artistic Director of the Fairbanks North Star Ballet. Now, there's the business of running the business. Directors come and go. Very important. You're looking for more. Mm-hmm. Got some turnover?
Well,
or expansion?
We're always interested in meeting people who want to make North Star Ballet better. Mm-hmm. So we don't currently have a seat open on our board, but there are plenty of arts nonprofits in town who are looking for that strong leadership. So North Star is actually co-chairing an event on November 3rd with the Young Professionals Council out of the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation to help recruit board members to the nonprofits who need them. So there's three arts nonprofits that are part of this event. North Star is one of them. Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater is the other, and then Fairbanks Summer Arts. But there's nine total nonprofits who are looking for community-minded individuals who want to see Fairbanks thrive.
You know, enough is never enough. And that's a good program you have. Mm-hmm. There are so many people who want to get involved, and how do they get involved? What's that first step? This is a great first step for them.
Yep.
Could you give the meeting time, place?
Yep. So it's November 3rd from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Centennial Center in Pioneer Park. Otherwise,
Pickle Barrel Building.
Pickle Barrel. Yep. And yeah, it's just a chance to meet with some of the nonprofit leaders in town and hear how you can best support them as a board member. Because really, like I said, the last few years would have, a lot of nonprofits would have gone under if they didn't have that strong leadership at the board level. Certainly, that's our case.
When I was a kid growing up, my mom would get us these tickets, and in the winter, at the theater there, they'd have performances of different plays and stuff like that, you know, in Fairbanks. And then she'd bring us up, would have activity cards at the university, at the Patty Center. So she was getting us out of the house and out of her hair. Very smart, astute mom. Okay, you kids, get in the station wagon. Let's go. I'll be back. Don't break anything. She gave good instructions that mm-hmm. way. My goodness. Now, the North Star Ballet, you're putting on the Nutcracker. That's an expensive presentation.
Yes.
Sponsors.
Well, yeah, the theater itself is not cheap to rent. We rent it for a week because we need that much time to get all of the technical stuff together. And then both casts and three casts of Little Mice this year rehearsed with all of the things moving around them, the sets and the costume, or the sets, yeah. The fly rail, you know, things flying out, you know, stage pieces crowding to the side. And then we also bring in some guest artists, which are pricey also, and putting them up here is not cheap either. And so we do rely on our sponsors for a lot of that help.
Yep.
Some of them are, or?
Ruby Marine out of Nenana, iChar, and then the Rasmussen Foundation and the Richard L. and Diane Block Foundation have all given very generously this year, and so we are thankful for that.
Yeah, those are four very good ones. Mm-hmm. And the Rasmussen Foundation, they so well, they look at anything and everything from $500 to $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very good family one. It's never over, is it?
No, it's I mean, when we're loading out of the theater on that Sunday night on the 4th, and I return the rental truck to the rental agency, and I go home, I go, wow, that's great. And then I go in and teach class the next day.
Yeah. Where was my 2-week vacation? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, wait, we got class tomorrow. So
yeah.
Here we go. Yeah, so it doesn't stop.
The show must go on.
The show will go on, yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And there's no off season, so to speak.
Well, you know, we do have some downtime in the summer, but what that allows us to do is we do a lot of camps, creative yeah. movement camps, like full day camps, get kids out of their parents' hair, like you said.
Moms are that are smart.
And then we have a couple of intensives for our more advanced kids who really want to learn more. If you take class every day, it's a big difference than taking class like twice a week or three times a week. In class every day, you can apply the correction that you've been getting like day after day after day, and it gets better and better and better. You make a whole lot of progress in those intensives. So that allows us to do that, to get the kids who are not in school in a learning place for 2 or 3 weeks.
You have your business plan down.
Well, we
after 42
we
years,
hope it yeah. sort of works.
You know? How many years again, Samantha?
42.
Is the news miter listening?
I hope so.
Fairbanks, don't make a mistake with Samantha. She is a real executive director. She'll direct you correctly. My goodness. And how many guest artists are coming up?
Well, we have six. We have two women and four men.
Okay.
So yeah.
Probably more of the lead roles.
Yes, the Grand Pas de Deux, they call it, which is the Sugar Plum Fairy and her cavalier, and then we have also the Snow Paladeau at the end of Act One and her cavalier. And then, of course, the Trepec dance, which is like the very athletic. And then we also need partners for the Arabian and for the Spanish dance.
You know, it seems like no matter what in Fairbanks, you have a relation that's going to be in this production
probably
sometime in your life.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to be going to it. I've been to about six.
Yep.
And always enjoyed it. Always enjoyed it. And you're just saying to yourself, wow, you know, different ages. And you're seeing the development. And, you know, if you have someone as a family member or relation that you're watching as the 8-year-old into the 14-year-old, you're looking at that growth. And it's incredible.
Well, and it's also, you know, for the dancers themselves, at a certain point, they start imagining what they're going to be doing next year.
Yeah.
I'm an elf this year. That means I might be a Polichinelle next year. And then I'm a Polichinelle. I might be a tea dancing next year. I might be a soldier next year. I might be a, you know, at some point you're saying, oh my gosh, I hope I can be in the Waltz of the Flowers next year. And
they have goals.
Oh, yeah. And it they're very visual and very attainable.
Ready for a phone call.
Great.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio. And your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
I went to a kind of a ballet presentation one time.
Randy, could you speak into the phone better? We're losing you, buddy.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Barely, but go ahead. You went to a... Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I went to a dance thing presentation. It was at the Herring Auditorium, as I recall, 10 or 15 or some long time ago. And the performance was very fine, but the audience etiquette, I felt, was terrible because after every little movement, every other little movement, they clap, which drowned out the music. And I assume, you know, they were proud parents or some, you know, they wanted to make the kids feel good, but it just destroyed the enjoyment for me. And I just wondered, in these productions, is there anything about audience proper behavior, proper etiquette of how to clap and only do that after the song is finished or something like that, or what?
Well, normally that is the etiquette. Normally you wait till the specific dance is over to applaud. There are sometimes, like in this production of the Nutcracker that we're doing, there are a couple of really spectacular lifts that happen that people will sort of spontaneously break out in applause. But we very much discourage what happens in a lot of productions, which is friends of individuals find it
They find
that they're supporting the people that are on stage, and they don't realize that they're actually making it miserable for everybody around them. Because you are precisely right that really does destroy any type of ambiance that people are trying to create on stage. And we don't have generally do not have that problem in our public performances. It happens a little bit in the school shows because it's just a bunch of little kids. but normally our public
booing their compatriots.
Well, if they know somebody on stage, they'll like shout at them. You know,
yeah,
they're kids. But yeah, the part of our job actually with those school shows is to try to teach that etiquette also. So that's part of our job too.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have a few minutes. How do people get tickets?
You can go to our website, northstarballet.org, and right at the top of our banner is the Nutcracker. You just click that, and then you pick the show you want to go to.
There's one on Saturday?
Two shows Saturday, 2 p.m., 8 p.m.
Okay.
One on Sunday, 2 p.m.
Three shows, not including the school shows.
The two school performances.
So you got five performances.
Yep. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun for the kids.
Yeah.
The next
morning you're working.
No, but it's really, I mean, once I get into the theater, I can't really do much more, right? So it is fun for me just to watch the shows and, like, hope it goes well.
Here you go. I've done everything I can. It's up to you now.
Yep.
It's also fun to watch you watch the shows, Mr. Weaver.
I would think so.
So they were
you
gonna,
nervous Nelly.
Well,
you.
What they were going to do, they joke about this, but it might happen, is auction off a seat next to the artistic director during the shows in the auction so people can sit by me and watch me twitch.
Zoom meeting it. Thank you very, very much for being on here.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you for what you give to Fairbanks. Okay. Really. 42 years.
Yep.
35 Nutcrackers. So many generations have come through.
Yep.
Thank you for what you do. and continue to do it, please.
We will. Absolutely. Thank you.
Fairbanks, I'll see you on Monday. And remember, Monday at City Hall, bring your trick-or-treaters, 3 to 5 p.m. You have a great weekend.